Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, Parochial Vicar, and Associate Director of the Catholic community. It is the fifth Sunday of Easter. We hope you enjoy.
I was having coffee with a friend the other day at Coho. And as she was fine-tuning her coffee, I was gazing at the Wall of Fame. And as I looked at those caricatured images of Tiger and Reese Witherspoon and the Google guys, I was reminded of one of those principles that Stanford stands for. Tiger, Reese, Larry, Sergi, all those others who are pasted on that wall strove for the next big thing. If anything, we know that Stanford trains the current generation to set themselves apart to be the next great author, the next big physicist, the next great medical doctor, what have you, to be the one to set apart, have themselves be set apart for the next great discovery, the next great American novel, the next great feat. It's part of the Stanford milieu, isn't it? Who in this congregation, in this assembly, will be the chosen one? Who will be the next Harry Potter? Scarhead or not? Who will be the next Nobel Prize winner, the next J.K. Rowling, the next Suzanne Collins? Who will be the one? Who will be the one to set the great... who will solve the great riddles of our time? Sustainable energy, whatever you have. Who among us, who is going to be the one to be set apart from the rest of the world, even from the rest of our cohorts here? Who is it going to be? It's always a question we have, isn't it? But I have to do something pretty bad for you right now. I have to deliver really bad news. I'm going to do something that's relatively tragic for all of you. I'm going to say something and you're not going to like it. It's too late. You already have been set apart. You are the next big thing. St. Peter tells us in our second reading that by virtue of your baptism, you are already a people set apart. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people God has chosen precious in his eyes to share in the glorious work of redemption, love, mercy, and beauty to a world that so desperately needs it. You are already the next big thing. By virtue of your baptism, you have already been chosen. You have already been set apart. You are already the chosen race. You have been granted a mission greater and more noble than solving the riddles of our time. Our mission, our duty, our destiny is to be the personification of joy and peace in this world. Despite our midterms, our papers, dealing with IHUM or power, atrociously slow lab results, despite family tragedy and the melodrama of the draw, the things I hear in confession, how successful are we in being that people set apart? The people chosen and royal, the personification of joy and peace in our world. Despite our trials, do we remember that we have been set apart for a greater purpose of evoking the joy and peace of our God for all generations and all peoples? The Lord reminds us in today's gospel, how well are we personifying the way, the truth, the life of Jesus Christ? How well are we doing, really? As some of you know, as I said at the beginning of the Mass, every year the first-year students of the Dominican Order, the novices, visit our communities and share their stories with us. These men, after countless hours of contemplation and self-questioning, have discerned that they are called to be set apart for the mission of the gospel. Though only a few months into their Dominican life, they have discerned that their road to freedom and flourishing is through the mission of the Order of Preachers. Therefore, in that great spirit, I call Brother Kevin Andrew to the fore.
Good evening. As Father Isaiah mentioned, Brother Kevin, I'm one of the novices here from the Western Dominican Province, which covers the U.S. from Salt Lake City all the way over to here, up to Seattle, and then down just across the border into Mexico. Actually, we go up into Alaska, I forgot. I was raised in Seattle and some of its suburbs. I'm an only child of two very supportive and giving parents. I'm not sure if this church has heard the phrase, the stewardship of time, talent, and treasure, that's been sweeping through Catholic worlds recently. But they really embodied that in many ways. My parents both worked for nonprofit organizations for years, volunteered their extra time, worked in ways that specifically help with the talents that they had. My mother was a Spanish major in college and worked for years with an ESL program, helping immigrants get their GED program, and then also just a lot of time, or also with the stewardship of treasure, donating their money to causes that they found worthy, which was all wonderful. And in their case, it actually was entirely secular. I was not raised in the Catholic faith at all. My dad left the Catholic faith as a young adult. My mom left the Lutheran faith as a child. But even without that, it was a wonderful, they gave great models of how to give back to the world around you. After high school, I went to Harvey Mudd College in Southern California. It's called a liberal arts school of science and engineering, or at least that's what they called it when I was there. And you still had that kind of search for truth that you get at the liberal arts education. It's not just pure technical knowledge and know-how. But I found that that search always stopped a little bit early. I could never get to the final reason or the first truth. And that's when I started really looking at faith seriously and looking at the church seriously. Even though I was raised in that secular environment, I went to 5 years of Catholic school. My father did leave the Catholic faith, but his father is still very involved with his faith. And so I did have that kind of background or that tug back into the Catholic Church when I started looking at faiths. I graduated from college, moved to Santa Barbara, where I worked for a little while. I enrolled the RCIA program there and entered into the church at the Easter Vigil in 2005. Soon after that, I quit my job. It wasn't fulfilling for me, or however you want to describe it now, but as the way I was defining my life, just wasn't enough for me. So I quit my job, I ran out of money, and then I moved back in with my parents. I hope none of you have to go through that. But after I moved back home, I got involved with my parish. I knew I wanted to be involved actively with my church, with the community there. And so I kind of bounced around from different ministries, from Vincent de Paul to the Rosary group. And then I finally landed with the Life Team group, working with the high school students at the church. And it was wonderful. Great students, great volunteers I worked with. And I found just as I became involved, as I got that experience in ministry, I wanted to do more. And so I signed up for an additional Bible study group or two. And then I wanted to do more, so I went on a mission trip. And this cycle kept going and going. I started getting those first serious inklings of the possibility of a priestly vocation. It helped at this point. I was meeting regularly with a spiritual director, and that just helped find those regular meetings helped find the trends and the truths in my life that maybe at times were covered up by the noise or just the scattered activities of everyday life. And finally, I mean, it really helped solidify that this was a true possibility for me. He did actually direct me to the Dominicans previously. I didn't have any experience with the order. I had known diocesan priests, and I had known the Paulist priests, who were the priests I had in Santa Barbara. And immediately I fell in love with the order, reading up on St. Dominic, St. Thomas, Catherine of Siena, all these wonderful saints, visiting St. Albert's last year, where Father Isaiah was at the time, and seeing the life, the common life, the prayer life there, and how that really builds a wonderful foundation for the active ministries. And so, it was just over a year and a half ago when I first discovered the Dominicans, and here I am now, which is rather quick. But during this time, there were a couple of priests, including my own pastor, who were very instrumental in helping me through moments of indecision by being the voice that was not simply saying, oh, that's so wonderful, you're thinking of becoming a priest, but saying, I don't see it for you. Why do you see this? And making me, even though I leave those meetings very upset, really made me think about it deeper and harder, which was wonderful and really helped move me forward. I've also, for several years now, had a devotion to Eucharistic adoration, which has been wonderful because this year we've essentially had that every night. We've had a holy hour. And it's just a great time for me to calmly spend time with the Lord and to bring everything from that day to Him or things that have been on my mind for a while or what's going to be coming up or sometimes just nothing and just sitting there. Again, it builds that wonderful foundation for life as well as a pattern for the future apostolic life. When we were in Riverside visiting the community there, at the time the community consisted of just one priest after their house burned down, and two other priests ended up in the hospital actually for a while. And we talked with Father Michael Augustine, who's one of his classmates, who went from being ordained last June to running a Newman Center and being superior of a house about 6 months later. But that foundation that he'd built had really helped him handle all those issues that came up, and he's really thrived through all of it. And so hopefully for me, that foundation will help me as we move forward. Next fall, we move over to St. Albert's, which is the House of Studies in Oakland, and begin a new phase of our life there as we prepare for the future within active ministries. And so at this point in the year, we've been in the order now about 9 months or so. I still don't know if technically I'm called to a lifetime of Dominican service, but I do feel very much that I'm called to be here right now. And I also feel much more sure about it last August when we entered. And because of this foundation that we've built through prayer and the common life, I feel very much at peace about the prospect of spending the rest of my life with these men. So I ask for your prayers as we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or email us at catholic@stanford.edu. We invite you to visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union at the Center for Interreligious Community Learning and Experiences, or mail us at the Catholic Community at Stanford, P.O. Box 20301, Stanford, California, 94309. For Father Isaiah Mary Milano, O.P., this is Nancy Pham. Till next time, may God bless you.